Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Studs, let's go. Glad that you were hanging out. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I am at 115 Bourbon Street for another hour. He just brought me the food. It looks so good. I got the blackened shrimp. I love talking with Jake Johnson. He is one of my favorites. He usually drops by the show once a year, and we have a good time talking about stuff. If you're like, wait, I know that name, but where do I know it from? If you ever watch New Girl on Fox, and the guy that was making all the Bears references on that show, his name is Jake Johnson, or the movie Drinking Buddies, for example. He is now in the movie Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the number one movie in the country. And I'm happy that he is here with me on the show, because he got to be here with me on a weekend where the Bears win the NFC North and his movie is number one in the country. That's got to feel great.
So I watch at home always. I like to watch the game. I like to do it by myself because I pretend to be doing film study.
We all do.
Yeah, so for me, the fun of it is not being around a bunch of drunks screaming and yelling. I like to watch my players. I like to watch the development I think's happening and see how the game plays out. I really just love what Nagy's done with this team and with the whole culture.
I'm so glad that you brought that up. I talked a little bit about it last week, where I feel like he's made Bears football fun again. And it's no diss to John Fox, but there just seemed to be less joy in John Fox. And it seemed to just pop up and evolve under Matt Nagy. And I've appreciated that about him.
I agree, but I also feel like it's 2018, and the old world of a tough-nosed, old-school coach who's hard on his players and they all toe the line, I don't want to watch that anymore. I like the players. I like big personalities. I like when people can celebrate in the end zone. I like when a team clearly likes each other, and I like when these professionals are enjoying their job and having fun doing it. And I like that Nagy's allowing that to be the Bears. And I like that it feels very of the era. It feels 2018. We have a fun offense, but we still have that great D. I'm just fired up.
Do you know that? Have you heard of Club Dub?
Oh, yeah, of course. I've seen those Instagram videos.
And do you know where they got the idea? Because I would imagine that will also make you happy.
Yeah, that's got to come out. That's the Cubs, man. That's Madden.
Yeah, Nagy and Madden have now like become friends.
Well, but if you look at what Madden did with the Cubs, he changed the culture dramatically. We went from we're always going to find a way to lose to these young guys are having fun and celebrating winning. So the fact that Nagy did it year one with Pace's squad, and you know, it's what you hope for every year as a Bear fan. When we follow the draft and we listen to our free agents and we get excited. And finally, it all came together. I love the team. I love that we're young. My buddy Gareth Reynolds, a comedian out here in L.A., is a diehard Packer fan. I love that I could be ruthless to him these days. I love that the Packers are in a state of rebuilding. It just couldn't have worked out better right now for Chicago.
We were texting throughout the beginning of the season. And when the Bears traded for Khalil Mack, you were sky high. And I think the whole city was. I really do believe that he changed their trajectory towards being a championship-level team.
Without a question. I think if you look at us last year, we were a great defense. And without him this year with Roquan Smith, we would have been a great defense again. You know, one thing I don't love about national media when we're on is it's only Khalil Mack. We got a lot of studs on that team. But adding him, we now have that once-in-a-generational type talent in the middle of this great defense. Now, I honestly don't think there's a team in the NFC that scares me in the least. I don't want to go to New Orleans and play the Saints, but I also think we could win there.
They're in a place right now where, because their defense is so good, that there shouldn't be any game where they're a prohibitive underdog, because they've got the trump card in this is the fact that they can mess with the passer no matter who
that
it is.
Exactly right. We can get, you know what's also really nice about Mac, and it's a fun thing about that once in a generational type guy. The really big games where as a fan you have that stomach ache and you really want it. You know, I really obviously as a Bear fan, we all really wanted to beat Aaron Rodgers. We all wanted to beat the Packers. The fact that he got to him 2.5 times, the fact that he got to him in that first quarter, he just shows up in big games.
You know who else shows up against the Packers? Leonard Floyd.
Leonard Floyd.
How about that? The fact that I was looking at the numbers yesterday. A third of his career sacks have come against the Packers.
I mean, I like it. You know what I feel bad for about this guy? Is that when he broke his hand and was struggling, everybody was talking about him like a bust. And something that I think must just suck to be an athlete is that when you get injured, if you're a team guy and you play through it, you get judged as if you're not injured.
No,
I don't think that,
you're right.
There's not a comparable thing in other businesses. He had a cast on his hand. And all people are talking about is lack of sacks. It's like now that he's back to being healthy, we see what he's doing. But he helped us by being in. He was better than his backup.
Jake Johnson is joining me here on The Score. If you don't know about Jake, you should. If you haven't seen Into the Spider-Verse, you should. And you should take your kids to go see it, too. He is the voice of Peter Parker, and I'll just leave it at that for now. But we wanted to talk a little bit of Bears before we talk about the movie. And walk me through how satisfying Sunday was for you. And here, I'll lay it out for you.
Okay.
In Chicago, it was about 50 degrees. It was sunny. You have the Packers at Soldier Field. You beat Aaron Rodgers. You eliminate them from the playoffs. And you win a division. That's a pretty satisfying day for a Bears fan in December.
That's kind of as good as it gets, isn't it? 100%.
Yeah,
and you know, because you and I text back and forth throughout the season. You're my guy. I'm always, you know, asking the questions too. Because I've fully now officially come around, and I'm 100% a Mitch Trubisky guy.
Okay.
And I know we've gone back and forth on him a little bit. And I'm going to tell you why I'm just 100% with him.
Okay.
He's young. He still is learning. He's in the first year of his offense. But what he creates with his legs on big third downs, when he scrambles around and either runs for the first down or like hits Shaheen on that one big third down after scrambling, I've never seen that as a Bear fan from our QB. And that whatever, quote-unquote, it is, that thing that they always say you can't teach, he does have that. So, yes, is he going to make some bad throws and some boneheaded decisions as a 25-year-old guy who only played 10 games in college? Of course. But if we're lucky as a franchise and Nagy sticks around for a long time and our offense keeps evolving, could you imagine what Mitch is doing year one, where he's going to be at year three?
That is the hope. And what you can look at is the template of Patrick Mahomes, who kind of sat and watched. And what he's doing in that offense, he probably is going to end up being the league MVP this year. But I think that your film study is right on. I went back and watched the game Monday morning. And one of the things that I found interesting is exactly what you're talking about. His physical gifts of being not just nimble with his feet, but strong. that the Packers called a great game on defense. They blitzed at the right time. They were there in his face, but he kind of, you know, shook off a tackle here or a tackle there, and it allowed him to extend some plays. Now, one of them was a big third down where he runs for 14 yards. The other one is the one that you're talking about, the pass to Shaheen on the sideline, and that was after a second down play where he had escaped from the Packers. So, yeah, the fact that you've got a physically talented quarterback back there who isn't a statue. And the thing is like Chase Daniel isn't a statue, but he's not that. And that's right. And that's the difference between a quarterback getting sacked or a forced fumble on a quarterback and a quarterback making a play down the field.
Well, for me, it all changed for me with Mitch Trubisky and those two games when Chase Daniel was our backup. And I actually think it was really smart to give him a lot of money. I'm glad he won the game against Detroit. I think he is not only like a coach, a QB coach, but he is a good quarterback as a backup. But I really realized the difference because I started believing possibly Mitch was good, but we got a great system. And then you see another QB in that system, and all of a sudden Nagy's tricks and his fun offense didn't sing the way it sings with Mitch. And that was when I realized, oh, this is just a good relationship between these two. You hear about how Nagy loved Mitch when he wanted the pre-draft stuff, and you understand why, because I think Mitch fits what Nagy wants to do perfectly. He can create on his own, but he can also read the offense. He can actually run it, and together was the first time I'm starting to realize, like, oh, we might have something building in Chicago that could carry us for 5 to 10 years of winning.
Jake, do you feel like Bears fans are most comfortable when the defense is good?
Yeah, I know I am. I never felt comfortable with Trestman. Even when we won some of those games, when we had Mel Tucker and Mark Trestman, and we were trying to be a high-flying offensive team, there's something about being a Chicago Bears fan that I love, and that is no matter what, we're going to have a tough defense, and it's going to be hard to play the Bears. If you happen to beat us, that's fine, but it's going to be hard. I personally think a 48-45 game is a dumbing down of football. I don't like it. I don't need to see a touchdown to be excited by football. So I love when these teams come out, the Chiefs and the Rams play every two possessions as a touchdown. I love thinking, wait till you play the Bears.
I feel that Khalil Mack has done a great job of reigniting that it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, Neanderthal football. We're not talking about 9-6 games where everyone leaves with broken bones, but you're seeing the difference that a defense can make. So you have Mack, you have Akeem Hicks, who should go to the Pro Bowl, who deserves to go to the Pro Bowl with the way that he's played. Eddie Jackson, I think, is an all-pro, not just a Pro Bowler this year. The corners have played great. Roquan has flown so underneath the radar that he is 17 tackles away from Brian Urlacher's rookie tackle record.
I got to say, I'm glad you brought up Smith because he's secretly quietly my favorite Bear. Because I love Danny Trevathan too, but I love a middle linebacker. And I love that guy who just can stop the run to get into coverage. When you look at the stat sheet, he's always at 10 to 12 tackles. I love the guy who's involved in almost every play. And I love that we got this kid in the middle because I think he just fits a Bear linebacker in a really exciting way.
I made the point yesterday because I've been, and you know, because we've talked about this, I've been really hard on Ryan Pace.
I know you have.
His offseason has been amazing. You hire the right head coach. You keep the defensive coordinator, which I think is key. You trade for Khalil Mack. You draft Roquan. You get Chase Daniel in. That $10 million is worth the one game that he won. If we look at it from a sabermetric standpoint, it's totally worth it.
Yep.
And everything has worked for him this season. He deserves a ton of credit.
I agree. He's also, he just put his stamp on the team in a way that I've never seen in Chicago. I've never seen somebody come in and just change the Bears, and by changing them, make them feel more like the Bears. We have been so laughably bad for the last 8-9 years that I was forgetting what it meant to be a Bears fan. You know, watching the Bears flip around, never knowing who we were, I'm like, let's just have a team. Regardless of what we do this year, my Packer buddy, we were going after each other pretty hard, and his new version of trash talking, which isn't working, is let's see what you do in the playoffs.
Oh.
And that's the wrong way of looking at it, because for me, look, I want to go to the bowl and I want to win it, obviously, and I think we've got the guys who can do it. But what they've already done, what a victory of 2018. We've reestablished the brand. We've reestablished the Bears. I now know when we've got a big Bear football game, I can be excited to sit down on a Monday night or Sunday night football and not have one of those embarrassing games where all of a sudden we would give up 40 points. If we don't win, we don't win. But we are going to play a great game of football. And I respect Pace. I respect Nagy. And all the players for actually doing the work. But it's just been a fun team to cheer for.
Well, Aaron Rodgers has also been like a horror movie villain where you can't kill him. And it seemed like that into the fourth quarter yesterday. It was like you've seen this before. It's like, oh, this is the part where Aaron Rodgers gets out of trouble and throws the ball 70 yards to Randall Cobb. And they end up winning and delaying the Bears winning the division.
I felt exactly the same way. But you know what I'm really so Aaron Rodgers as a player has obviously killed us for so long, but he's a pouty guy. And his demeanor on the field, we obviously as a team that had Jay Cutler get killed for it.
Yep.
I have no idea why Aaron Rodgers is not getting more heat for yelling at everybody, complaining, pouting around that field. I'm like, if this guy had a Bears helmet on, we would kill him for this stuff.
He missed a bunch of throws yesterday.
Terrible throws. And then he just looked. I watched him in the huddle. And for the first time, I'm like, oh, we got this fool. He quit. He's done.
It's.
I don't know if he doesn't like the squad. I don't know if he doesn't like what they did in the offseason. But I'm like, we got this guy.
Talking with Jake Johnson, you can check him out in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It is out now. It is the number one movie in the country. How much fun was this movie for you to do?
You know, this was honestly working with so Phil Lord and Chris Miller were the producers, and they're kind of the geniuses behind it. And then, you know, our directors, we had Peter, Bobby, and Rodney, who were unbelievably brilliant. So for me, it was really nice to be able to act in something that had that much strength and confidence on the higher ups. It felt like I went to an organization that was extremely talented, and I got to just do my job on it, and I felt so honored. I love the movie. I love the message of the movie, that anybody can wear the mask. I just did a big press tour for it, and seeing a bunch of little kids of, you know, boys and girls and all different races, and everybody's fired up and sees themselves in somebody in this movie. It's just nice, man. It just feels positive in a really cool way.
I'm with you. I thought it was a beautiful introduction of the Miles Morales character. And
that's right.
And I was sitting there watching the movie. I said, man, this isn't just a great superhero movie or a great animated movie. I felt like it was a really good movie overall. And you're right about the messaging, that it takes you on a little bit of a ride and you find out a lot about yourself, like watching it. It's great to have a movie that is positive and popular.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's also the message of it. You know, I did a bunch of press touring with Shamik. He's a 24-year-old guy. He plays Miles in it. And, you know, as a 40-year-old with kids, I was excited about the message. I have two daughters. And so when I told them that I was doing this movie and I was playing Peter Parker, they wanted to play Spider-Man around the house, but they would refer to themselves as Spider-Man girl because they don't have – because Peter Parker's a boy. And Spider-Man is a man, not a girl, not a woman. And when they said that, it was the first time that representation kind of hit home as a white man, and I thought, like, Man, that doesn't feel great. They should have their own. And then in this movie, it introduces Spider-Gwen, and she's a teenage girl, and she looks cool, and she kicks butt. And I thought, like, oh, I can't wait for them to see Spider-Gwen. They're going to love it. They're not going to care about Peter Parker. Peter Parker's for other people who love him. But I'm like, oh, yeah, they got Spider-Gwen. And so, anyhow, I was just, it meant a lot to me, and I was talking about it a lot, but Shamik said something nice where he said, yes, it's got a good message, and it means something. But we just made a really fun movie that's it's not about the message. And I think that's the genius of what those directors and our producers did. It doesn't feel like it's a lesson. It's just a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a story, and it walks you through a lot of this. And can I just say, shout out to other Chicagoan, John Mulaney, who was perfectly cast.
Yeah, he's hilarious, man. John Mulaney eats it up in this, for sure. But he's kind of always funny. He's just killing it.
He is. And I thought that that was a really cool thing, too, and the fact that they had the alternate universes come to be in play, and the way that the story was like, how much of the animation did you see as you're doing your work?
Not a lot. We saw really basic stuff. They explained to us how it was going to be different than any animation you've ever seen. And they told us how, you know, they had three times the animators other movies have. They broke it down that basically it was a week of work for 1 second of animation and stuff like that. But we only saw when they would show us clips, everything was rough until about 3 weeks before everybody else saw it.
When were you able to throw yourself, because you and Peter Parker are at the same place from an age standpoint, were you able to connect with that character?
With Peter, for sure. You know, I'm not a huge superhero guy. Those are not the movies that I go to see or care too much about. So what really pulled me in about this version of Peter was the human side of him. That he's just a guy. Take away the fact that he's Spider-Man. He's a guy who focused in way too much on his job. And in doing so, his life fell apart. And then for the first time, he had to look himself in the mirror and say, what is so good about the job you have if you don't have a home to celebrate it with? And that was the depression he was sitting in when he enters this story. So that story, if you pitched me that about an independent movie, I would be interested in that character's story. So that was my way into this. The fact that it happened to be Spider-Man all made it way more exciting. But I like Peter's arc as just a human being.
I also love that, like, there's something to the symbolism of the sweatpants.
Yes, for sure.
Right? Like, there's something to that. You know what? I have just given up. I'm going to put these sweatpants on, and I'm going to go out here. How many of us have had that moment where it's like, I'm just going to put that on and walk out the house?
Yeah. I got to say, it was really fun playing this character because he's just making jokes a lot of the time. You know, Peter is just, he's just mad, and he's over it. And so seeing the script, a lot of times it was like the jokes were there, the character was funny. Honestly, I got to record this one for the last 2.5 years. I wasn't allowed to announce it for over 1.5 years. So this was not one where we recorded 2 or 3 times. I've been in that booth probably 20 or 30 different sessions. You know, so I've gone kind of deep into this character, into this world. And I'm just really happy everybody gets to see it because I've kind of known it's been special for a long time.
That's Jake Johnson. I wish there was more I could share. I'm trying really hard to kind of balance the idea that, of course, this is a sports talk show. But I will tell you that the interview that I did with Jake went on for another 25 minutes because it was two friends talking about stuff, including his movie. And there turns out that I actually have a place for all that extra content. So the part two of that conversation will be on my House of L podcast next week, where we really get into the Spider-Man stuff and we can geek out a little bit more. But I love when Jake comes on because Jake wanted to talk about this movie because he loved doing this movie. But what he really wanted to do was come on and talk about the Bears. And I appreciate that about him because I can tell you, humble brag, that throughout the season, at least once a week, I get a text from him talking about the Bears. So that dude is paying attention. He is on it. He is not. There are a lot of people that become famous and like, oh, yeah, I rep Chicago all day. They don't. He does. There's a lot of fake celebrity fans out there, and Jake is not one of them. So I'm glad that he was able to make it. I know we're late. We got to take a break. When we come back, we will talk to DePaul head coach Dave Lato. Wow, there are actually DePaul fans here. I actually went to college with them. Back after this on The Score. Well, each week we talk with Dave Lato. What's really crazy is that I'm actually sitting at 115 Bourbon Street, and some of my college peeps are here. Some actual DePaul fans are here, and it's been a good week for DePaul basketball with a couple of wins. Win against UIC, win against Chicago State, closing in on Big East schedule. It's getting ready to take place, but not before we talk about some of the games that have already happened. The head coach of the Blue Demons now joins me here on The Score, Dave Lato. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Lawrence. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well. I was just joking as I was introing you that some of my peeps from my era of DePaul came out to see the show tonight, and I was like, hey, don't leave. Dave Lato's coming on. And they didn't leave because they wanted to hear about what's going on with the Blue Demons.
Good stuff. Hopefully you guys aren't doing what you did on a Saturday night during your college days, because you may not be able to do the show as effectively.
Yeah, I think those days are long behind me, Dave. Then again, I was pretty boring as a college student. I mean, my nickname at DePaul was Old Man. So I mean, I've been pretty much this for a really long time, which is good for me because it meant that I didn't get into a lot of trouble. Your guys are playing really well over the last couple of games. Well, what's been something that's made you happy about the way that they're performing?
Well, you know, since the last conversation we had after the Northwestern game, and you know, as I said then, we wanted to focus more on what we were doing well and what we had to do to be consistent and you know, take the 30 plus minutes of good basketball and learn from the 7 plus minutes of bad basketball. And I think this week was as part of that. There's a number of guys that have begun to kind of realize and find out, you know, where their place is and how they can fit themselves into the team framework, both sides of the basketball, offensively and defensively. And so I think we're just trying to figure out our level of comfort. And I, you know, well, obviously the score has indicated that. And, you know, what we've got to do now is continue that. And I think growth is the operative word this week. We got to continue to grow as a team.
Max Strus went viral on Friday night with that incredible dunk that he had in the game. Everyone was going crazy. The bench was going crazy. Max is already, and now him being named, you know, on the Big East honor roll and player of the week. What's it like for you to see him get these accolades that people are throwing at him now in his senior season?
Well, you know, I've known about this for the better part of 3 years, or almost, you know, two plus years, and that he's been around. I don't need and didn't need, you know, validation from somebody saying that he's good. Obviously, the accolades are deserved. You know, they're a tip of the hat for him and what the guys around him are doing. But, you know, for me, it's about trying to make sure that he continues to maximize his God-given ability and fit it within the framework of the team. And I think he's done just that. And as a result, the ball's going to the basket more. The people are finding him more. He's rebounding the ball more. He's doing much more, you know, that I know he can do and has done since I laid eyes on him. And, you know, the athleticism that we've talked about, you know, throughout the time that he's been here was on display Friday, as you said, not just with that dunk, but some of the other things that he does that kind of, you know, has led me to believe that he can have a long and successful career in this game.
It wasn't just the dunks. It was him also hitting from the outside in the game. When a player is hot like that, What do you want them? Do you want them to keep shooting, even though some people are like, oh, well, he's shooting all the time? How does one stay inside the game plan and go out to have a record-setting night?
Well, you know, I think when you get to circumstances like that, we, you know, I try to let the guys know that there's some certain times where you got to be selfish for the team, meaning that if you're open and it's a good shot, and you've made a couple in a row, to keep taking them, you know. And I'll make sure we do that. I kind of designed some things specifically to get, you know, in that case, Max some open looks. It worked to get him open. And there are other times you have to use him as a decoy because teams will focus in on him. But, you know, we've had certain instances where guys get hot, and I'll just run, you know, whether it's the same play or different variations of plays to get their hands on the ball in scoring areas. So, you know, I'm going to try to ride the wave as best I can. And he had a feeling, and he got some open looks, which he doesn't always get. He hit the first couple, and, you know, it just continued on. And, Chuck, he took 16 threes, which is a lot by anybody's standards. And I think most of them, if not almost all of them, were very good looks. And so, you know, to be able to hit eight of them, you know, in his mind, he left a lot short, and he left some things on the table. But at the same point in time, 8 for 16 is a very good night for anybody.
So after you have the Northwestern game, and you talked about it at the beginning of this segment, what did you want to see from your guys in the practices that led into the Chicago State game, and then after that going into the UIC game?
Well, you know, we've made a concerted effort, both physically and especially emotionally, to look at this thing as a one day at a time approach. So, you know, starting with me, and we've talked about it, I'm probably the worst guy when it comes to being able to handle losses and understanding what bouncing back has to mean, and you know, staying upright and kind of moving on to the next practice and the next game. But that's exactly what we got to do, especially with this team, because I think they all are on the same page in terms of wanting the same thing for each other. So we as quickly as we could, we talked about it, we watched the film, and just tried to move forward. And we knew we would have two games this week that, you know, against in-city institutions that were going to cause us to have to play basketball at a high level. So it's exactly what we focused in on, and the guys did a really good job of especially on defense, of really understanding what the game plan was, what we're trying to do possession by possession, and then executing it.
So a couple of ticket promotions that are going on for the Blue Demons right now. Heroes Day, 50% off tickets online, Saturday, December 22nd versus Boston College. You're going to be honoring first responders who are in attendance. If you want to go to that game, you go to DePaulBlueDemons.com and enter the promo code HERO for 50% off all tickets, or you can call the DePaul ticket office at 773-325-SLAM. Offensively, obviously, when you have an output on Friday of 34 points and 11 and 13 rebounds for Max Strus, it probably makes the game easier. But other guys played well in that game, too. You had five guys who were in double figures in that game. I know that we've talked about this before, but seeing Devin Gage return from that injury and now him attacking the basket and taking guys to the rim after that injury is so encouraging to me.
Yeah, Lawrence, it really is, for a couple of really important reasons. One, as you said, just to get him back on the court and have him in a position that, you know, we and so many other teams need in terms of having a lead guard and somebody that provides the kind of energy. He plays hard on both ends. He you know, leaves it all out there and can, you know, learning how to lead our team. And then the second part of that is he's still in the learning process. He still doesn't have, you know, a lot of college basketball games under his belt, you know, making sure that he gets the proper amount of minutes and reads and understanding what his place is, and, you know, make sure that the other four guys in the court are well taken care of. So it's still a work in progress, and I think what we're seeing is a maturation of a guy who's talented and is getting an opportunity to prove himself as a high-level athlete and lead guard. So very, very happy with him and some of the other guys' efforts thus far.
Paul Reed had a big game against UIC as well, 13 points, 7 rebounds. You know that I've gone on record and talked about how I think that guy it can be special. What does he need to do to get to a point where everyone else can recognize that he might be a special player?
Well, he's a guy, you know, again, one of the reasons you and a lot of other people really enjoyed him because he has a ton of natural talent. So, you know, that talent is on display at times. It's got to come to fruition, you know, much more consistently, which is very, very natural for a young guy. I think that the challenge that Paul's going through is one, you know, to be able to get stronger so that he can not only maintain his stamina, but can deliver blows as well as absorb blows. And then just continue to learn the nuances of the game. I think, you know, as he continues to get more minutes, he gets more confidence in all the other aspects. There's so many non-scoring things that the naked eye may not see that Paul's in the process of learning, whether it's defensively and rotations and communication. I think he's doing a tremendous job, you know, compared to when he first got here and all those kinds of things. Offensively, you know, making sure he's in rhythm with what we're doing and playmaking and all those kind of things that allow his talent to now come to the forefront as opposed to his talent being just what people see. So I'm very encouraged him. I'm happy with him. I love him to death. He's a guy that listens very intently and wants to learn because he wants to be really good. And so we're seeing him grow up right in front of our eyes.
We haven't had the chance to really talk a lot about Eli Kane, and he's also a favorite of mine. How has he handled the offense evolving and it having more people be a part of it this year versus previous seasons?
Well, I think first and foremost for him is he wants to win. And so whatever pluses, minus, adjustments, all those things that he has to do with his own personal game, is fine with him because at the end of the day, you know, he's been here for 3+ years and he wants to make sure that he goes out and with a very, very successful campaign. And so if you look at his numbers, he's averaging 14 points, which is good, especially in this league. He's shooting a much higher percentage than he had last year and previous years, both from the floor and the three-point line. He's also shooting the ball much better from the free-throw line. He is at the top of the league, if not number one in the league, in assists and also assist the turnover ratio, which means when he touches the ball, good things happen. He's more active on defense. So his all-around game is continuing to grow, which I think is the best way to judge him because he's a multi-dimensional player as opposed to, you know, hey, Eli, did you get 25 points tonight? Or, you know, how many shot attempts you get? I think he's well aware that he has done that and can do that at any moment in time. But it's his overall game that I think makes us really, really good.
All right, we need to take a break with Dave. If you've got a question you'd like to jump in, 312-644-6767. You could text a question in at 670-11. We'll have more with the head coach of the DePaul Blue Demons after a quick timeout. You're listening to The Score.
Well, the rebound is taken down by Eli Kane. Shovel pass to Struess, going airborne, jam, and the foul! Max Struess gets called on the technical. Must have elevated at least 40 inches up in the air. Jammed the ball with authority with both hands, landed, and yelled at his opponents.
The highlight courtesy of The Score. My man, Zach Zaitman, was going crazy on that. I'm so glad I got the chance to hear it. I was actually in Arizona at the time watching the game on Fox Sports 1, and I just knew that Zach had gone bananas on the Struess dunk Friday night, and I'm glad that he was able to do that. We're in the middle of a conversation with Dave Lato, the head coach of the DePaul Blue Demons. DePaul's got a game tomorrow over at Wintrust Arena against Incarnate Word, and then it's DePaul versus Boston College on Saturday. That Boston College team is really, really good. Dave, I know that I'm looking ahead because you have a game tomorrow night. And that's the most important thing, and I know that that's what's on your board and with your guys. But since I'm not going to have the chance to talk to you before the Boston College game, I'm curious on what you see when you see them.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I've just watched a little bit on television. I haven't started breaking the tape down. And, you know, again, I think it's important that we focus in on understanding what tomorrow's game is going to present to us in terms of challenges and, you know, emotionally and physically and the like. So I know they're a very good team. They've grown every year that Jimmy Christian has been there. They've gotten better. You know, their guard play is tremendous. Kai Bowman is one of the best guards in America. He put his name in the draft last year, and he's on most people's draft boards this year. So they play well together. They play really good defense and change defenses a lot. So, you know, that challenge will be tremendous. But, you know, we've got to understand the 20 games that we have left are all going to be part of the big story, you know, and what we'll talk about at the end of the year. And, you know, today's practice was our focus and what we needed to do to have a good practice and get prepared for tomorrow. And tomorrow's game is equally as challenging. And, you know, games that are on your schedule that don't look like they present a matchup that somebody on the outside would worry about, those are the ones I worry about more, because you can go backwards if you're not really prepared in terms of your sloppiness or not paying attention to detail and all those kind of things. So we've got to make sure tomorrow night that we come out with the same kind of intensity and understanding that if we're going to raise this bar, that you know, nights like tomorrow are as important as any on our schedule.
Well, what type of challenges does Incarnate Word present?
Well, they're very methodical about how they, you know, their pace of play. They kind of, you know, spread you out a little bit. They take their time. They shoot a lot of shots with under 10 or 8 or 7, 6 on the shot clock. And so they're going to test our defensive patience. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to kind of, especially off the ball, to go to sleep a little bit. And if we do that, we'll buy ourselves in a lot of trouble. And when you do that, you get a little anxious on defense. And sometimes it goes to offense and you quick shoot and you don't share the ball and do the things that we try to do every day. So we've talked about it in preparations to make sure that we do those things and that we, you know, not only stay alert on defense, but we take advantage of what we have become pretty good at, which is to take the ball inside, either on the post or off the dribble, and kind of make the game, you know, closer to basket, be to our advantage, and then play inside out from there and let guys like Max and Eli and those kind of guys do the thing behind, find the three-point line. So we're going to try to do that tomorrow.
A texter from the 815 wants to know, what can Flynn Cameron do to get more playing time?
You know, he's a guy that I really like. He's 100% bought into what we're trying to do. I think the simple answer to the question is making sure that, you know, he provides the kind of both offense and defense intensity that we need from a consistent basis. I think he tries, because he's a freshman and he's young, to defer to the guys that he's on the court with. And my thing is, if you're out there, you're just one of five guys. It doesn't matter if you're a freshman or a senior. You've got to insert your mind and your game into the framework of what we're trying to do on both ends. I think he's grown and he's learning that. He understands that fully. And there's no better guy that I'd love to be around than him, and dedicated to what we're trying to do. He's in the gym constantly. He's improved his skill, especially from a shooting standpoint. So, you know, I think what I'm trying to do is increase the minutes for the guys that come off the bench so we can have more rotations. And he's the guy that I'm focusing on trying to get that for.
So we're closing in on the end of non-conference. Do you feel like the messages you've given to your team before Big East play have sunk in?
Well, you know, my conversation to them after practice today is, you know, you guys have asked me through how you conducted yourself to raise the bar of expectation. And that's because I think, you know, what we were talking about and trying to figure out 3 weeks ago, we've made some really good progress towards being. And I'm not just talking about what the score is at the end of our games. I'm talking about how we practice and conduct ourselves every day, you know, how we have conversations in the film room or on the court, or what we're trying to get really good and can stay consistent with. So we've done a really good job on a day in and day out basis of doing that, which allows me to create the kind of trust that a coach has to have to know that his team is good. And we, you know, by far, we still got a long way to go. We got, you know, there's 20 more games to figure ourselves out. But at the same point in time, I like what I see day in and day out, that we're getting more consistent in what we're trying to do. So if that's the case, when we get to these games in late December and January and February, when the ups and downs of Big East play come, we'll be able to sustain ourselves on both ends. And that's, I think, what any good team wants to have.
Dave, good luck tomorrow against Incarnate Word. I'll talk to you next week.
Hey, Lawrence, thanks. And hopefully I can get a pat on the back for what I took care of things in your household to make things all right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, thank you very much, because my dad was a professor at Chicago State, and you beat them. My wife has 2 degrees from UIC, and you beat them. So, yes, she actually made a nice frowny face when I texted her about the final of the game. So I do appreciate that you took care of business last week.
All right. Anything for you, my man.
All right, Dave. Thank you so much.
All right, talk
That's
to you
Dave Lato, the head coach of the DePaul Blue Demons. Big thanks to him. And the Demons are coming off a couple of good wins against Chicago State and UIC. Let's see if they can keep it going into Big East play. And just if you're on Twitter, just look for Max Strus. Just search Max Strus, and you will see the dunk that he had on Friday night that was straight nasty. It was putting someone through the basket. It was pretty dope. All right. Thanks to everyone involved in tonight's broadcast. The folks here at 115 Bourbon Street, we appreciate them. Thanks to Miller Lite for bringing us out here. It was really great. The service here was really phenomenal as well. Thanks to the crew back at the ranch. Herb Lawrence, Adam Studzinski took care of you from that perspective. Here, it was my main man, young Tony Gill, and Dave Miska. God, I'm happy to see you. So happy to see you. Oh, so thanks to Lance Bricks for being here. My man Phil Donlin showed up here, and that was dope. The DePaul crew is just in the house. It's like three people, but they make a lot of noise. So it's totally okay. It's totally okay. Thanks to everyone who listened to the show. Thanks to Jake Johnson for being on the show. Thanks to Score Promotions for being here. I am back tomorrow. We have tomorrow. I keep forgetting. I'm hosting Middays tomorrow. In fact, I need to go home and go to bed because I'm going to be back on the air at 9 a.m. tomorrow with Connor McKnight. So me and Quinoa Jenkins are going to do the show between 9 and 1 tomorrow. Yes, that is Connor's new nickname, Quinoa Jenkins. Let him know about it. He will completely understand where it comes from. So I'll be back on the Score airways tomorrow with a partner. That'll be interesting. Me and Connor tomorrow from 9 until 1. Thanks for listening tonight. I appreciate the love. And thanks for the folks that support House of L. I'm going to drop a new episode of House of L tomorrow. And it's good. It's some of the questions that you've been asking for a long, long time. Thanks, Chicago Wolves, for sponsoring the top of the hour. Julie DeCaro is next. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Score.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.